Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the NBL News Podcast. It is finals time, joined by Aiden and Jackson once again. What's going on, guys?
Not much. Cutie music. It's the final countdown. Anyway.
Not much. We're going to have to wait 12 more days until there's finals basketball. But, you know, hopefully it will come down quickly.
No, we've got Bahrain versus Australia and Kazakhstan versus Australia. I'm hyped for those games. I'll tell you what. Not really. But look, semifinals pass. Both games was the best of three. Now we've got a really good grand final series that I'm sure they're probably the two best teams this season. So it's got to be a really good series that is unpredictable who can win it, really, which is good. We haven't had that in a while. The last 2 years, it's been an easy sweep by Sydney and an easy sweep by Melbourne. And the year before that, we didn't even get a proper grand final series. So it'll be good to get a true best of five grand final series once again between Sydney and New Zealand. Looking forward to it. But we'll start off with how the semifinals went. My predictions went horribly wrong. I thought it would be a couple of sweeps in both series. But look, both teams that, especially Cairns, a very undermanned side, were able to get one win at home in front of their home crowd and then couldn't finish a job in Sydney. But we'll go through that first Sydney-Cairns series first. We'll go through that one first. Cairns lose that first game against Sydney, 95-87, and I guess they were just undermanned. Jackson, what are your thoughts on this game? And I guess just the series, we'll just go through the series in general. What did you think of the Sydney-Cairns series?
Well, the series in general was a bit defined by Cairns' bench in a way. Those two losses that they had two key bench players that stepped up in Antonio and Benair in game three.
Yeah.
And they just lost their legs in both those games, I feel. Like, they were playing, four games in 8 days. You know, carrying over from the Perth game.
It's 5 and 10 days.
Yeah, 5 and 10 days because of the Tassie game as well. And they just lost their legs. And, like, no Shannon Scott in game two or game three also hurt them a bit. But tell you what, the game three could have been a whole lot different if the NBL changed a few decisions from the Suarez bump on Wartenberg and also Chase Buford's
we'll get to that
outburst. Really competitive series, even though the margins of both of all games didn't really stand out that way.
And I think it was the last two games they only used seven players, or one of those last two games they used seven players. So they missed Shannon Scott missed the last two games.
McCall missed game one as well.
And Pindo obviously out. So, look, it could have been a whole different result if they had those guys healthy. Aiden, what do you think of the series?
Well, we talked about DJ Hogue being the most valuable player in Tony Marks. He scored 9 points in the third game. And then, like, his first game, he played good, but there was no one else, like, supporting him. And then the second game, he just, you know, went to another level and took them over the line. But, yeah, when you've got a guy like Wartenberg in the first game, fouling out or not playing at his highest, they were also in struggle. But we did tell you, Evan, it wasn't going to be a sweep. So,
well, look, they did surprise me.
Here are your brooms. But,
no, they did surprise me. I mean, they were severely undermanned. They were, you know, they had seven guys in that game three, I think. And I think in that game two as well. And they just showed how tough they are. And sometimes you look at some of the big teams like Melbourne and Adelaide and Perth that I guess failed this year. Sometimes it's not all about, you know, the big name players and the, you know.
I'm just surprised Mitchell Dean didn't play as much.
I think he may have been injured too. There would have been no reason to not play him. So, look, they were very undermanned Taipans and they've done a good job. And hopefully they run it back and pray to God they stay healthy all throughout the season. But game two really, really was... It could have defined game three, the actions there. If you haven't seen already, check the videos out. But Buford, first ejection of the season, I think no surprise who would have got a coach who would have got ejected.
First ejection in a long time, I want to say as well. I want to say I'm first sure. since Will Weaver in Melbourne, I think.
No, I reckon there's been a few.
Has there? Because nothing comes to mind other than Weaver against United.
I think Dave Shimmy got tossed out once in that period. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, but anyway, first time in a fair while, at least this season.
I don't think anyone's been ejected since that Weaver Melbourne game.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. So, Buford ejected there. He was carrying on like a pork chop is what I can say there. But, I mean, to be fair, some people hate to see Buford act in that way. That's fine. But his point that he was arguing made complete sense, how they gave Kurt Noy a technical for flopping when he literally got a bloody nose from getting hit in the head. So he made a very, very fair point. But should he have acted that way? Probably not. So he ended up getting charged with two counts of unsportsmanlike behavior. He was given a $2,500 fine, and then he accepted the guilty plea of $1,875. And I don't know if the thing about the NBL tribunal is it's a one person tribunal.
It's very corrupt.
Do we even know who is the one person?
No, and I hope I just don't understand how it's just one person.
Shane Hill, to this. I gotta say it.
Probably is someone from Sydney, to be honest, because how could he not look at Buford's past incidents? He accepted that suspension in that Tassie game early this year, and you look.
In the Phoenix game in Toronto, and that game was horrendous.
He almost got ejected from that game. He
the LED screen incident last LED, grand final season.
Writing a note on the referee's doors. He's had a lot of incidents.
But you know what they all have in common? So, he likes Chris Reid because Chris Reid has been at every single.
I think he said Chris Reid sucked in the broadcast.
Yeah, he did.
That game too.
Good love,
straight to the camera as well.
Look, I don't mind a bit of character in the NBL. It's good fun. And it gets people watching the league. It's exciting. It's entertaining. But then again, all the incidents he's had in the last 2 years, I don't know if that played a decision in this, but I feel like he should have been suspended one game for what the incidents he's been through the last 2 years. I think they would stack up and I think they've been a bit lenient because it was a semi-finals game three. Had it been a regular season game, maybe a different result, but NBL definitely needs to change their tribunal there. Tim Suarez, elbowed Wartenberg right in the grill near the end of the game. Looked like it was on purpose. What did you guys think?
Oh, yeah, it was on purpose. He was looking straight at him. So,
Aiden, what did you think?
Yeah, it was more lined up than the wax stuff, illy screen.
Yeah, and it was off ball as well. The ball wasn't even inbounded, which made it worse than, even though the wax stuff Barker won, the result was much worse in terms of
Barker getting
concussion.
He was sitting in the screen, that wasn't on purpose, that wax stuff one.
Yeah, but like this one was just straight on shoulder to head contact. So,
this is like footy bumping sauce.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
I hate to compare it to the AFL, but would he have been clearly suspended for that incident?
Well, I mean, footy just more...
Depends on how far off the ball it would be, to be honest. So,
either way, he was charged with... He was charged with striking. I don't know what defines striking in the NBL tribunal, but whatever. He was given a one-game suspension. And that was reduced to $1,000 fine after he accepted an early guilty plea. So,
which is rubbish, by the way.
I don't know how
they
determined
that. They can have a suspension yet if you get an early guilty plea, even though the guilty plea was like a day before the game. Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that the NBL could, be more clear about, and the tribunal system is definitely one. And look, if those two guys weren't a part of game three, who knows, that could have been a totally different result. I think everyone's undermining the fact that Fleur McIntyre became the first female head coach in NBL history for a couple minutes there. But look, I think it could have played a huge part in game three had either of those not been available. But yeah, the tribunal system does need a bit of work. I don't know if both of them.
What system? There is no system. It's just the tribunal.
Look, I don't know if both of them should have been suspended, but I'm just.
Suarez should have been, in my opinion. Just yeah. The action and how, you know, it wasn't even a screen on the ball. It was just Wartenberg was running up the court and then out of nowhere he was taken down. So,
yeah, I just don't like how it's a one person tribunal system, but either way, it was a good series. Sydney win that in game three, and hopefully we see Cairns back competitive next season. The other series we could talk about, the Breakers, Jack Chubbs, we talked about game one. That was a shellacking, and I thought by that point, there's no way Tassie come back from a 20-point game, and they prove me wrong. Like Tassie has done to everyone the last 2 years they've been in the league. So they get a huge win back at home. Milton Doyle went off, and hopefully the Jack Jumpers have a contract on the table for him next season. I know his mum on Twitter is tagging the Jack Jumpers already on Twitter saying, son, you know, get the contract going already or whatever. I don't know what
she's saying. Well, basically she's trying to say is she doesn't want him back home. is what she's saying. Like, good.
I think Doyle 100% stays in Tassie. It's a match made in heaven there, and he's a fantastic player. But they win game two there, back home in Tassie. I mean, it's hard to lose in front of that crowd now. And in game three, really competitive game up until the fourth quarter there, where Barry Brown just went off 32 points, second most points from a Breakers player in a final ever. First is Kirk Penny, obviously, but. That fourth quarter was unreal by the Breakers, and they showed why they are a top two team and why they deserve to make the grand final this year. But I want to know your guys' thoughts on this series and how it played out.
One person, Derek Potter, that's all I'd say. That was the difference. That's all. And then also Milton Doyle, like, there was no one else going with him. Like, the third game, maybe yes, but every other game.
They really missed Josh Maget.
Yeah.
Jackson, what do you think?
Brantley couldn't get going most of the series. For some reason, he just couldn't. But, like, it didn't matter in the end because of how well, like, Barry Brown Jr. came up through his injury. And, like, he had 32 points in game three, I want to say, or around 32. Yep. And, yeah, like, that just killed Tassie. Like, and then just McDowell White was solid throughout the entire series. Liafa was solid. Like, they just had more depth than Tassie did. Like, that's it, really.
Mm.
And it's not like the other series when they were playing three games in 5 days. They were playing three games in, what, 8 days? Or something like that, because they played game one on last Sunday. So, yeah, just a really interesting series to watch.
Mm. Look, I'm looking forward to the Sydney-New Zealand Grand Final series now. Best of five, obviously. I hate how it starts in March, 3rd of March. And hopefully we still get good crowds, though. I think the reason there wasn't big crowds in both Game 3 matches is because it was literally less than a 24-hour turnaround for Sydney, for the Sydney home crowd, I think. Because, Sydney's game was Friday night against Cairns, and they played 2 o'clock on a Sunday. So that's, you know, what, tickets went on sale probably early Saturday morning. So they had just about 30 hours, fans, to get tickets if you're a casual fan, not a member. So it's fair enough they had 7,000, I guess. But hopefully we get good crowds for the grand final. I mean, we've got a couple weeks to get tickets, so hopefully we get 9K at Spark and almost 15K at the couple games at Kudos Bank Arena as well. So should be a really good grand final series. Both teams healthy. I'm looking forward to it. I want to know your guys' predictions, though. Who wins in what games?
Why are we doing this? There's like 2 weeks between now and then.
No, let's do it. Let's do it now. Who are you saying? What do we reckon?
Sydney in four.
Sydney in four? You want to go game by game breakdown?
No, I'm just saying Sydney in four. Look. There's two weeks.
Next week can be game by game.
Yeah.
New Zealand in five.
I say New Zealand in four. But we'll see if those predictions change next week. But I think New Zealand in four. They'll win it back at home. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, both healthy teams. Let's move on to the Bullets. Brisbane Bullets made some changes already in the off-season, first to make moves, which is good. Good on. We talked about their new head coach and Justin Chula last week. So they've really been active already, which is what they need. They understand that their last season was absolutely pathetic and atrocious. So they, sorry to go so harsh, but.
No, it's true.
It's fair, I reckon. But it's good they're going early with these decisions. Jeez. Brisbane Bullets, they took the team option on DJ Mitchell. Correct decision, 100%. You guys agree?
Oh, yeah.
As long as he can stay in the right mindset in the year.
Yeah. Other than that incident early in the year, I think for what he's worth as a local, he's got to be a true star in the NBL for years to come. So especially when they got two marquee players, you need another local in there that's a starter and not marquee level, and he fits the mold. He's perfect. You're not going to get, you know, he has the potential to be a Keanu Pinder type player. I feel like he has the athleticism, and he's only second year professionally, so I think he's got some good years to come in the NBL. Is that an outrageous comment to make?
That he can be like all NBL level,
like a Keanu Pinder type player.
Positionally, no, because they're two different players in terms of that. But yeah, I could see some sort of leap like that. He just needs to get his mindset right and not become his dad and punch his hand through a glass window. So but no, it isn't far fetched. Like, he could win most improved. And definitely not back-to-back. That'll probably never happen again. But I could see him win most improved and average like 15-7 one year or some sort of stat line like that. So
well, he can hit the free ball of the world. That's the thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. And he's really athletic as well. Gets on the ball.
I realize we forgot something in our grand final predictions.
Yeah, go on. What have we missed?
The grand final MVP, you guys. Come on, let's go.
All right, we're doing that. We're doing that now. Yeah,
doing that
now you
well.
Guys, I moved on because you guys wanted to do it next week. So, all right, we'll go back to the grand final then. Grand final MVP.
Well, I've got Sydney winning, so I'm going Cooks. Like, it's just straightforward.
Thank you, Captain Obvious. Sorry, that was harsh.
All right. I don't know.
Go on.
You go first then.
Okay, Ryan Repair. The next guy is going to ball out in the grand final series and get himself elevated.
You know what? I'm tempted to say Tom Abercrombie too. I'm tempted to say it, Tom Abercrombie, even though he won't have as big as impact as Barry Brown or Will McDowell White. But
Hasn't he already got a finals MVP?
That's a dark horse.
Exactly. He's won it before, so who says he can't win it again? No,
that's not bad. I like it.
Honest opinion, I reckon Will McDowell White will win it.
Okay.
Here's my prediction. To the Brisbane Bullets. No, it's all right. I thought we were doing it next week, but that's fine. The other move they made earlier today was that they parted ways with the GM of basketball, Sam McKinnon, which was obviously bound to happen this offseason. But it's just unfortunate. They're already making lies, I guess. I mean, we saw...
It's Brisbane Bullets.
A couple months ago... I think the ownership said to Sam McKinnon that you either coach the rest of the season out and
or your GM.
And, he decided to be GM and he departed the team anyway. So it was a lose-lose situation for him. At the end of the year, he was gone. So, yeah.
But with a guy like Justin Shaw, he knows the talent around Australia. He knows how to recruit, so...
Yeah, Greg Vanderjagt, he's staying as assistant coach there for next season, which is the right move by Brisbane. But look, big off season from them. They need two huge import signings and some good backup locals to make sure to have that successful season again. They got the fan base now, and look, they got some good Aussies in there. But the three players they got right now are really good. So let's see what they do in the off season. Moving on, Boomer Squad was announced for the upcoming games against Bahrain and Kazakhstan, which I cannot wait to see at the State Basketball Center when we've already qualified. So a lot of what annoyed me is that a lot of people were complaining about these teams saying, this is atrocious. This team absolutely sucks. You know, why?
But they don't know why.
Exactly. They don't understand. And they say, why isn't guys like Pinder and Cooks playing? It's like, those guys are in the finals. And they, you know, there's obviously not, there's obviously a reason why they aren't playing. Same as guys like Baines, I think, and that. I think they just didn't want to play in this series. They probably wanted a break. And then, of course, I told you guys, I said, you know, I saw the comments and people saying it's a terrible squad. I'm like, just you wait and see. Someone will say, where's Giddy and Mills and all that. not about 5 minutes later, someone comments, no Giddy, Mills, et cetera. I don't understand these people. Like, I think this is a really solid team.
It is.
Yeah, I think it is. But people are going to hate on it because, you know, they don't understand the circumstance. We're playing Kazakhstan and Bahrain. We beat Kazakhstan in the last window by, 50-odd points. We're already qualified. Like, there's not many players available right now, so I don't know why.
And they're saying Todd Blanchfield lit it up against China and all those teams. I'm just going to say.
Blanchfield's still a great player. Like, yes, he's got no minutes, but, you know, he's still one of the best Aussie small forwards in the league. So I'll read the squad out now. Mitch McCarron, unreal player, still one of the best point guards in the NBL. Mitch Norton, yes, he didn't play minutes, same as Blanchfield, but that game against Southeast Melbourne, he was huge. That
will be a good game. Bench point guard for
exactly. Nathan Sobey, yes, he didn't have the best of seasons, but he was literally in the Olympic squad 2 years ago. It's Nathan Sobey. He's a marquee.
He's got a bronze medal, and he's got that bronze medal back too.
Yes, that was good news. Cole Adnam, look, not the best of seasons from him either, but you know he's still a great player. You know, there's not much else out there, and he's still a solid local player and probably better than any Kazakhstan or Bahrain point guard. So no offense to those countries, but it's, you know, you don't need heavyweight guards in there. Nick Marshall, I really like seeing him in there. He's the future for the 36ers franchise there. It's good to get some young guys in there. Dan Greeter, he's a great player. Good to see him back in the Boom squad after 2 years of, you know, years of injury. So he is rewarded for his efforts. Blanchfield, we already talked about. Alex Tui, he's been in the squad a couple of times already. Really good young guy for the future, going to Gonzaga. Reese Fagg, that one was an interesting one for me because I feel like there are better players than Reese Fagg.
Not to me. He's been really good for the Boomers. If you go back and watch that Asia Cup, he was by far one of, if not the best player off the bench for us. So
you make a good point.
No, you know, he was a lock for this team. He's playing in the second division
of Japan, though, and yeah. I would rather see.
He's doing well.
I'd rather see a younger guy like a David Aquera in there who has played in the previous windows. And what is he, 20 years old? I'd like to see some a bit more younger talent in this team. But anyway, Mason Peatling, I think his first appearance for the Boomers. A lot of people were shocked by that, but he still started for Melbourne United this year and was a starter when they won the championship. So he's still a good player. Isaac Humphries, yes, wasn't his greatest season, but still
he's healthy,
former though. NBA he's player. And he's still a really good center in the league. That's probably better than any Kazakhstan or Bahrain center again. And Nick Kay, we know how good Nick Kay is. I don't think that's a bad choice at all. But yeah, good squad. They'll smash these teams by 30-odd points and can't wait for the World Cup. Anyway, in-season tournament, I want to talk about this. Adam Silver, he presented the idea. He mentioned the idea in the latest press conference at the All-Star break. Someone asked about if there's potential about NBA and EuroLeague games, and he went on about in-season tournaments and the likes. And his quote here is that it may be that at some point there's an in-season tournament, but it includes clubs from outside the NBA. Jackson, you reckon this idea would work?
No. No. Travel would suck. No.
Maybe
not in-season. Like out-season, yes. Like if they do a pre-season tournament, definitely it would work. But like if you do it mid-season, that would just suck. Like, you know, Australia, Japan, China, like, imagine flying from, like, Southeast Asia to America. It's not fun. So, but Europe definitely could work, even though that's still quite a long flight. Like, if you're going middle of Europe to the west coast of America, like, that's not a good flight. So,
as long as they don't play Russia, they're fine. Anyway.
Yeah, but look, I'd love the idea, but logistically, I can't see it happening.
You look back at the McDonald's championship.
Yeah, but that was like pre-season.
That could work. I really like this idea of international teams and that.
I do too, but just logistically and like having
NBA
to make it.
They've talked about an in-season tournament for a while now.
Yeah.
But would, you know, just to bring some more excitement into the regular season, but would it be that exciting? You know, what's the point of an in-season tournament if it's just NBA teams still? You know what I mean? So that's why they've thrown this idea out and thought maybe we can add some international teams or the likes and make it kind of like like soccer or football, whatever you call it. So, Adam, what do you think?
We're turning into soccer. That's what I feel like we're turning into. Like, I love the concept's good, but it has to be in the preseason. It can't be during the season. I don't think that's going to work. Like, contract-wise, like, if the NBL team had, you know, signed an import, they would include this new, you know, contract. In
yeah, you also got to think EuroLeague has, what, unlimited imports, NBA, you know, they sign who they want. And then Japan or some other countries, they have, I think they have three imports too, like the NBL. So, again, it's like import rules and everything else. So, it'd be challenging. But I'd go on.
You're going to do it in preseason. You can't do it in the
preseason. Yeah, I'd like it in preseason, 100%, just before, I'd say around September time would be perfect for, I'd start off with an eight-team bracket. I'd go two NBA teams, two best NBA teams, two best EuroLeague teams, best NBL team, best South American team, best Asian team, and the winner of the Basketball Africa League.
Ooh.
Everyone
someone
in the world.
That team will get
so Adam Silver, call me up. I've got some great ideas, mate. But yeah, I'd go with that. Two EuroLeague teams, two NBA and NBL. I think they do an Asia championship already, or we need
to
create that.
Gorgeous coaching in that league. So
best team in China or Japan, and then I think there's a South American league down there, best team in Brazil or Argentina. I think that could work. I think that'd be a fun little tournament. And it would grow the game globally. But I'm here if you need be. Adam Silver, Jeremy LaLiga, whoever it is. I've got some great ideas. Anyway, hot take of the week. Who wants to go first?
Hot take of the week. Jackson, you go first.
Nah, somebody else go first.
All right, fellas. I've talked too much this podcast, but you want me to keep going. I say Mitch Creek will never don the green and gold again for the Boomers.
Okay, very cool. I like it.
It's not because he's a bad player, but for obvious reasons why he's not selected in this window and why I don't think he will be overlooked in future windows. But yeah,
I just realized Isaac Humphrey is the only true five in this team.
Yeah, I think so.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No. I would have liked to see Rocco in there instead of Reece Faye, but anyway, go on. What's your hot take?
Mr. McCarron will get a 30-point triple double against these two teams.
Combined?
No,
I don't see it happening in one game. He's not.
Nick Kay had a 30-point triple double against Chinese Taipei like a year ago. So I could see it happening.
That's my hot take.
Did he have a 30-point triple double?
Yeah, he did against Chinese Taipei. I
and
remember
NBL was
it
still
was
going
in that,
on back
like,
then.
Yeah, when it was like mid season and they were playing in Japan, and they took a team full of DPs, and then you had Nick Kay, Angus Brandt, Vague. I think Craig Moller may have been in that.
Craig Moller
team.
Was on that team. He wasn't.
Yeah. So
what Beveridge coached that team?
Yeah, he did. That's right. and Mike Kelly was maybe coaching, assistant coach, but yeah,
it was a good team.
He didn't have 30-point triple. What are you on about?
He did.
Had 14 points.
I swear he did.
He had 14. I just searched up. He had 14 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists against Jones Taipei.
Maybe
you guys are ridiculous with the 30.
I'm still saying 30-point triple.
That's more than a hot take. That is ludicrous.
Okay.
Anyway, Jackson.
Reese Fake will have.
Oh, here we go again with these stupid boomers. These blokes getting
okay. I'll change it.
Evan, if this happens, I'm gonna come back at you. And I'm
no,
just,
it's,
no I'll change. I'll change it
put
to
my
something.
House on the line
I'll change
and
it to
that
something
that
free agency
house is
wise.
On the line. Jeez, that's a.
I'll change it to something a bit more free agency
well, you
wise because we're going
go on,
into
Jackson.
This.
Go on, Jackson. Come on,
period.
Give me something good.
So,
here.
Xavier Mumford, who played in the league 2 years ago, no, 1 year ago. For Southeast Melbourne Phoenix.
Yes.
Yeah, so next I minute. Believe he will be back in the league next year.
What team?
I do not know the team. We know that his talks with Adelaide were legit and they fell through and they signed Craig Randall and look how well that ended up for
Let's
Adelaide.
Let's not talk about Craig Randall. Moving on.
Yeah, but I just have a feeling that he'll be back in the league. He loves it here in Australia, so... I don't
know.
He
has a lot of connections here too.
Yeah, he does. So
is he aged in Australia as well?
No, I don't think so. But yeah, I think like a team like maybe not a Brisbane, but somebody that needs a combo guard or something like that, it could work out really well for them.
Right. All right, let's finish off with five rapid questions here. Will anyone on the current Boomer squad for this window play in the World Cup this year?
Yes. And do we need to specify?
Well, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Nick Kay.
Okay. Look, based on what I made last week, no, but I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Kay makes it.
Okay. Other ones as maybe Sobey, Mitch Bukarin could have made it. Anyway. Will Southeast Melbourne make a... Will Southeast Melbourne change head coaches?
Yes. I'm putting my... I'm not going for my house. I'm not, like, even I'm not a stupid gambler, but yes.
They should, but I don't think they will.
Hmm.
So, no.
I was like, what does that mean? They should, but they're not.
Will Buford leave the Kings this season and become an assistant coach in the NBA?
Yeah, he'll end up in San Antonio.
No, he should become a therapist. No, he'll be out of the NBA. He's not coming back.
Do you think he will go to the NBA?
Yeah.
Does Keanu Pinder run it back with the Taipans next season?
I mean, his money worth wouldn't be as much as it was once was, so yeah.
Yes.
I hope that made sense.
Yes. One more season and then go... find big money somewhere else.
Mm. Will the NBL ever run an all-star game again after what we've seen in the NBA this past weekend?
What was that?
Will we see an NBL all-star game soon after what we just saw in the NBA this weekend?
Yes, we will.
You reckon?
Soon as in like 5 years'
next
time,
season.
3 years'
next
time?
Season. Next season.
Next 5 years.
No, yeah, next 5 years, but not next season.
Just, I think after that NBA All-Star game, I think it lowers the chances of it happening. if that's an NBA All-Star game, I can't imagine what an NBA All-Star game will be like. So, anyway, you guys got anything else to finish the podcast?
Come to the Boomers games. Come see me. No, look.
They must be desperate. I wonder how many tickets they've sold.
I will take a photo. I will send it to Evan and then we can put it on a... socials, what the
look,
crap.
They may as well play it at Nanawaddy Basketball Stadium. Who's going to rock up to those games? Sorry.
I don't think Nanawaddy would be able to hold that many. It'd be better, you know, going...
I think they'll have some empty seats at Nanawaddy too. Anyway. Jackson,
like the real beauty.
Anything to add?
Just look out for free agent signings in the next
coming
days.
Because
there's been exit meetings taking place around the league, so...
What do we expect? What's something we should expect
this
week?
Give us a team. Just give us a team.
you guys a team, what should we
expect? Let's go from Perth and Corey Webster.
I think
that'll be done. No, just Corey.
Just one.
I mean, Ty's still in Perth. He's still in Perth.
Corey's saying that Webster's will be done. All right. What do you think will be done this weekend?
Melbourne United, based in Perth. Done.
They'll be done this week?
I reckon they'll be done this week.
What should I go with here?
I don't know. They're promoting him a lot this week, Mason Pitling. So I thought
we've also got to think about re-signings too. I think Adam Ford will get a lucrative 4-year deal this week. If you
that's
can
not even possible.
They'll make it possible. They'll make it possible. Give him a 4-year deal. All right. Anyway, that will do for another episode of the NBL News Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed. We'll see you guys next time.